Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there is something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Because the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer draws some really dramatic conclusions about this new covenant, what it really means to us on a day-to-day basis. And I love what he has to say there. Why? Because so often we look at the new covenant or the grace of God as just something that impacts us at a point in time, that moment of salvation. And then once grace has done its work there, then it steps aside. We're, you know, we have to be disciplined. We have to carry out the mission through our efforts and all of those sort of things. So it rests on our shoulders to live the Christian life. But here the conclusion about this new covenant is that it's a from start to finish type of thing. As you said, nuts to soup. Is that the right phrase?
Soup to nuts.
Soup to nuts. I'm dyslexic on some of those things.
That came right out.
That's right. That's right. So here he says in Hebrews 13, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus." So that's the first part of it. God brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus Christ is the one who overlooks us, who oversees what we do and all of those sort of things. He's the one that leads us into pastures so that we can find substance and all of that. And so may this God who brought Jesus back from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. So God's going to equip you through this new covenant with everything good for doing his will. So he doesn't leave us where we were. He meets us where we were, but then he starts to change us and equip us with everything that we need for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So this new covenant is all about Jesus, the fact that God raised him from the dead, exalted him, and gave him the role of being shepherd into our lives, who will equip us to do the will of God here and now. That is just amazing. So it's grace from start to finish. Yeah. That's what this new covenant is all about, and that's why it's so powerful in our lives, and that's why we as believers need to make that declaration that we are new covenant.
Yes, indeed. Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. We'd love for you to really join us now. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, the lines are wide open, all the time remaining on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. That's good and toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from David in Phoenix. He says, "I called my sister-in-law to wish her a happy birthday the day he wrote this," is his reference. "In addition to wishing her happy birthday, I asked her how her three kids are doing. She said that she was really struggling with her son, who has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. He is around 17 years old now and is pulling more and more away from everything. He no longer goes to school. He has no interest in anything. He doesn't have much of an appetite. He's 6'1". But only 130 pounds. David says he is very intelligent, and I believe he needs to be filled with the Spirit of God and know his love for him and purpose he has for him. What input can we offer David in regard to this 17-year-old?
Well, what I would suggest, and I think it's a really, really good question, how can we get input into a person's life? Something of this nature, and we're not going to see overnight transformation. It's a process. It's a journey. And I think this Bible study guide we have, the New Covenant Journey, would be a perfect resource for this situation. to give a person, a 17-year-old who's having trouble, who's been labeled as OCD, give a person a chance to really let truth start sinking in to their minds and start doing only what truth can do. But we have to recognize that it is a process. It is a journey. There's no magic wand. And so we need to be a part of that journey. We need to gear up mentally and emotionally as far as helpers and caregivers and that sort of thing to be ready to take that journey to the distance. So I would recommend this study guide, the New Covenant Journey, which really takes a look at what this Christian life is all about. And through that, maybe somebody can have an opportunity to receive Christ. This Holy Spirit can come and take up residence in them, and then transformation can really begin. So that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, the New Covenant Journey. And for anyone who would like to get a copy of this, we would love for you to have one, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. As a matter of fact, this is our offer to you this month, and it's only good now for another couple of 3 days because the month is ending, of course. The New Covenant Journey, the Basic Gospel Study Series, available for a couple of more days for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You'll find a prominent link at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator between the hours of 9 and 6 Central Time at 1-800-727-2828. The New Covenant Journey, yours for a gift of any amount. And that phone number, once again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'd certainly love to go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina right now, but we'll do it over the air, and we'll talk to Mike listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was just calling about when you're saved. Some preachers talk about you must repent and turn from your sin. And I don't know if you need to repent before you're saved or how all that works. I'm a little confused on all that. I don't know if I worded that right.
Well, you did. You ask it very eloquently. As far as repentance is concerned, that's part of the salvation process, the transaction that occurs. I mean, we come to the end of ourselves. We recognize something's wrong. We recognize that this old way of life isn't getting us anywhere. So with that type of thinking, we're already starting to turn away from it, but we don't know what to turn to. And when this gospel message approaches, when somebody delivers it to us, when we hear about the person of Jesus, the fact that he was God in the flesh, that he became one of us, that he died in our place, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. We hear that good news, we respond, and now we turn to him. And that's the faith aspect of it. So that's repentance is all about a changing of belief system, a changing of the mind. And when we turn to Christ by faith, that repentance process is really made complete.
Very good. Well, I appreciate that. That helped me out a lot.
Well, you're welcome, Mike. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. Want to hear from you if you have a question or a Bible situation or a question that you'd like to pose. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and talk with Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm glad to talk to you guys again. I want to talk about chosen by God. I read this in a book. Many preachers avoid any mention of election because the subject is so often misunderstood and abused. The fallen human mind tends to think it's unjust for God to choose some but not everyone. That's not fair. But it's not to be fair. We would not want it to be fair. Fair would mean everyone is eternally condemned. Jesus prays for elect. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. Acts 15, verse 14, and John 1, 9. We who are saved were in his mind before the beginning of time. We have always been chosen. That is an intensely thrilling thought. The Apostle Paul preaches saving truth so God's Spirit could use it to the face of the elect. And I end with this, God's pleasure of his will, that's what it's, God's good pleasure of his will, that's what I want to end with.
Well, Paul, there, you know, election is a theme that's talked about in the Word of God. There are different levels of election. You know, he elected the Jewish people to be the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That was an election.
Right.
That wasn't a salvation election.
No.
He also elected that Gentiles would be saved. That was his choice. The Jews felt like it was just going to be a salvation for them, for no one else. But God has always had the whole world in his mind. But Paul, one of the issues, I think, when we start talking about, quote, predestination, when we start talking about election, that we miss Jesus. If we would just simply talk about Jesus and let God handle all that other stuff, I think we'll be okay. Because really, election and all of that, that's God's stuff. And we can't fully enter into it as far as a full level of comprehension because our minds are finite.
Do you agree, though, that Jesus prays for the elect?
He does do that.
And not praying for the world. Do you agree with that? Just for the elect.
There are places there that is the case.
Yes, I think that's so. Don't you think that elections have everything to do with salvation? Because if you don't, it sounds like man has something to do with it.
Here's what I say, Paul. I would... Instead of using the word election, I would say God's grace. We are saved.
Yeah, grace has got everything to do with it.
Yeah. So let's.
It's not man. You agree with that? Man has absolutely nothing to do with his salvation.
If it was up to us, we wouldn't be saved. But God so loved us that he sent Jesus, and that through Jesus we can be saved by grace through faith.
Well, I couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah.
So I think we agree with it pretty much together.
Yeah, it's
kind of. I know election is a very difficult thing. It sounds like God does not, he just saves certain people. That's mean. But like I say, God's the one that, it's God's pleasure of his will. I mean, it's hard to understand why God wills that some are lost. But he don't wait in heaven to see if somebody's saved, right? I mean,
Paul, let's just end with God saves by grace through faith.
When we
lift up the name of Jesus Christ, we don't know who's going to be saved or who's not going to be saved. We don't know that. But we have the wonderful privilege of pointing people to Jesus. And we'll leave the results of that in Jesus' hands. And
what does that mean to make the calling an election sure? Does that mean if you're saved, you're going to live a Christian life?
Well, I think it's part of working out the salvation that God has worked in us. I mean, again, it's bearing the fruit of Christ's life in us. I think that's what that means to me. Richard, do you have any?
One of the things that the writer to the Hebrews was dealing with in his audience was this ambivalence toward Jesus. We want to believe in Jesus, but we also want to believe in the old covenant. We want to move forward into this new covenant that you talk about, but we think we should hold on to the ceremonies of the old and some of the laws of the old. And he's constantly telling them throughout that letter one spot in particular, make your calling and election sure. Make a decision right now on that you're going to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. You're going to, as much of a blessing as that old covenant was, and it was a blessing, you have to leave it where it ended at the cross and move forward with Jesus. Because if you try to hold on to both Jesus in the new covenant and the old covenant, you get neither. and he didn't want them to be left hanging out there. He wanted mm-hmm. them to make certain that the person they believed in was Jesus Christ, and that was the source of their life, and
okay,
him alone.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I'll let somebody else talk.
Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
That prayer of Jesus in John 17 gives me thrills and chills all at the same time to think the incarnate God would think about us who would come later. And that kind of leads into another question from Jeff in New York. Reincarnation, biblical or not?
It is not biblical.
Not at all.
There's nothing in the Word of God that speaks to reincarnation. That is a man-made belief system. And, you know, left to our own understanding, we come up with all kinds of stuff. And you look at it and say, wow, how can anybody really believe that?
Yeah.
Well, the reason they can believe that is because it came out of their own thinking. Mm-hmm. But the Bible doesn't speak to reincarnation at all. We have new life in Jesus Christ, or we remain dead apart from Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible speaks to. And this new life is eternal, not only in duration, but also in quality. It's something the world hasn't seen, and it's only available in Jesus, only available in Him. It's by grace through faith.
Yeah.
So when we are born again, these bodies may die, but we're going to live forever in Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's what the Bible speaks yeah. about.
In great fact, reincarnation is a great example of the natural-born legalism that all of us are infected with apart from Jesus. Because fundamentally, reincarnation is about coming back and doing better next time.
Right.
It's not about who you know in Jesus Christ. It's all about how you're performing. And if you perform badly, you're going to come back worse. If you perform better, maybe you'll take a step up the ladder. It's legalism at its core. It's defeated at its core. There's no Jesus there, so there can be no victory.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's a key point. As far as religion is concerned, every other religion mm-hmm. except for Christianity, salvation is always works-based.
Yes.
Whatever their definition of salvation is, it is works-based.
Yes.
It's dependent upon human effort, human merit, but only in Jesus can we be truly saved, and that's by grace through faith. So that's an important distinction that we need to understand. We sometimes get lost in some of these discussions about, you know, Eastern religions, New Age religions, all of those sort of things. But if we will kind of cut through all of the layers and get down to brass tacks, we're going to see that whatever they're promoting, at its core, it's works-based.
Yeah. And we have a little time left on the clock and open lines for you, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a very interesting question from our friend Lucy in San Diego. She says, in a certain Bible story, the disciples were upset because another group was preaching in the name of Jesus. When they complained, Jesus told them it was okay because if they were for him, that meant that they were not against him. Today, she says, many preachers and teachers preach in the name of Jesus with a wrong premise. Is the answer Jesus gave then in that day the same today, because they are misleading so many believers, maybe not intentionally?
Actually, Jesus' words absolutely apply. We don't know what's in a person's heart. We just don't know that. And I have met people, in some ways I am one of those people, who listened to wrong teaching my whole life, and yet Jesus found me in that wrong teaching. It had nothing to do with the teaching. There was something that in that error, even, that the Holy Spirit said, Richard, pay attention to this, don't pay attention to that. And it caused me to start asking questions and caused me to start looking for truth and finally coming to Jesus and saying, if you don't have the answer, then there must not be an answer.
Yeah.
So if a pastor is blatantly wrong, well, then sometime after church, you know, take him to lunch and say, why did you say that?
Yeah.
But if you don't know them, if you're not in relationship with them, don't throw rocks from afar, because it serves no purpose. And so, you know, we're called to be wise, and we're called to be gentle. which means that it's impossible for us. We need the Spirit of God to lead us through those minefields so that growth can occur rather than separation.
Yeah, and as you say, keep us out of the weeds.
Keep us out of the weeds.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and talk with Dennis, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon. I've got a question concerning your last caller, where the Lord said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I suppose that we wouldn't be elected or chosen if we never called upon the name of the Lord. So the hearing of the gospel entices us by faith to, you know, to call upon the Lord. So then we're saved. And I believe also in Ephesians chapter number 3, it is maybe, where it says we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. So I'd like to just hear your comments on that. Does he know that if we're going to be calling upon his name or not, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord?
Well, Dennis, God's going to know everything. I mean, that's just the nature of being God. We don't fully comprehend that and what all that means. And so we have this predestined word. We have this election word. We have this foreknowledge word. It says that God in his foreknowledge chose us and called us and all of those sort of things. But I think when we put predestination in its context, I think we get a different story. It takes the focus away from individuals and God choosing or not choosing individuals and puts it back on God's true nature, the fact that he's interested in all people, that there's going to be some from the Jewish background that are going to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, and there's going to be some from the Gentile background who are going to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And those two groups are now going to form one body, one new man. That's what's been predestined. That's part of God's election. And that's what those great chapters are all about, Romans 9, 10, and 11. And right in the center of it, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. And so that puts the responsibility on our shoulders to simply share the good news of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's go about opening up our mouths and telling people about the love of Christ.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think this gospel must be preached into the whole world, and that's whosoever would be the whole world to call upon the name of the Lord. But I believe that being chosen in him, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be in Christ if you don't hear the gospel and you don't believe. Once you've heard the gospel and you believe incorruptible seed, I believe Peter said, being born again of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So I guess at that point, the predestination or the election is only after we are in Christ. And I think the question then, as the gentleman was talking earlier, is does God know who is going to call upon his name and who is not going to call upon his name? That would be the question to me.
Well, and we'd have to say God's God, so he certainly knows those things. But he works that out in human experience through giving of the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, Dennis, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate everybody who called and who listened for this particular broadcast. And we're now in the final 3 days of the offer of our new Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, yours for gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's constantly changing lives. We all have the opportunity to be part of something very, very special through our gifts to Basic Gospel, and you'll find a donate link at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828, 727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. With your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive a copy of the New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.